Hey everybody, Josh Neighbors here, Locked On Big 12 podcast. Today, John Williams of Locked On Sooners is joining us. A look back at Oklahoma's 2022 season, kind of what went wrong, what went right, what will happen moving forward for them, and obviously Big 12 / SEC, both topics of conversation for the Sooners. That's all coming up.
You are Locked On Big 12, your daily podcast on the Big 12 Conference, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Once again, Josh Neighbors here, Locked On Big 12 podcast. Make sure you guys find this show and Locked On Sooners wherever you guys get your podcast, Stitcher, Spotify, Apple Podcasts. You guys can find them both. And also, please subscribe to both channels on YouTube. Like the videos that you guys see on both channels. It helps John and I out very much. You guys can find me on Twitter at Josh Neighbors _. You all can find John at John9Williams. John, first of all, just want to say, I'm wearing my Commander's shirt today, but I love Dak Prescott. I hated Tony Romo. He made it easy to hate the Cowboys. Dak makes it very difficult. And also every single day I go to the gym around like 11 o'clock. So I'm always watching like First Take or Skip and Shannon, just because that's what's on the television.
Right.
Right. I have my AirPods in, but they have the subtitles. And it's always Dak. And he's getting blamed for everything. You know, defense plays bad. It's Dak's fault. You know, Brett Maher misses four times. It's probably Dak's fault. So it was refreshing to see like nobody talk about that at all. Like Nobody has talked about how well Dak Prescott played. It's just Brett Maher missed, and is Tom Brady coming back? And I feel like no Dak Prescott talk is just like a good sign. That means things are good. I know you're a Dak Prescott defender, so I just wanted to let you shine.
Yeah. And, you know, admittedly, he's had a ton of turnovers this year, but you look at kind of some of the context of some of those interceptions, and like they're perfectly placed passes right on receivers' hands that get volleyballed up into the air and defenders come down with it. It is refreshing. It's also a little bit frustrating. Like, hey, you're going to spend all that energy talking Dak and then not talk Dak when he plays arguably the best game of his career. Anyway, that's another show for you. Can check out Locked On Cowboys.
Well, it's important because there's a lot of turnover, right? Or overlap, I should say, right? There's a lot of overlap between your audience and the Cowboys fans. Mm-hmm. So luckily for Cowboys fans, you got a playoff win. That's nice. Something Oklahoma has not done, transitioning out of OU, and something that not very close to this year. So looking back at Oklahoma football, 6-7 this season, you're one of the Brent Venables. What went the most wrong in your opinion? A lot went wrong, but what went the most wrong for OU in 2022?
They weren't able to really mitigate the losses that they suffered to the NFL draft from the 2021 season to 2022. The defense allowed 30 points per game. They had very little pass rush. And you can look back and pretty much pinpoint the losses of Nick Bonito, Isaiah Thomas, Perrion Winfrey, those three in particular. But then you throw in on top of that, Brian Asamoah and Dellerin Turner-Yale to the NFL draft, Pat Fields to Stanford as a grad transfer. That's six starters off your defense that you lost. And that made a big, big difference. I don't think I truly gave enough emphasis to how much of a loss that was. Maybe a little bit mystified by the Alamo Bowl win over Oregon, where guys like Ethan Downs and Marcus Stripling and Reggie Grimes just played out of their mind and revealed like, okay, maybe they're going to have a pass rush despite these losses. But that was really it. I mean, the defense just couldn't generate a pass rush consistently, couldn't stop the run consistently, save for a few games, and couldn't close late. They didn't have enough depth on the defensive side of the ball to be able to make plays late in the game to get off the field and, you know, stop offenses from scoring late. They had five losses by a touchdown or less. Four of those came by 3 points. And you're like, some of that's just kind of some bad luck. You lose close games. A lot of times it's bad luck, some bad bounces, but a lot of it comes down to just not having the depth to be able to sustain solid defensive play for four quarters. And you saw that against Texas Tech. You saw that in the loss to West Virginia. That really is kind of where it stems from. And again, you turn over a big part of your defense, some major, major contributors, guys that went in the top, you know, three, four rounds of the draft. And it had a huge impact.
Yeah. I'm just kind of looking through, like, I'm trying to, you know, remembering some of these games, because the defense is where this thing, you know, this is what we have to talk about. Like, the offense was not great. I'm not going to say his offense was great, but there were performances on the offensive side of the ball that were good enough to win some games that they lost. I think the Texas Tech game is the one game we really look at and we're like, the offense was good enough to win this football game.
They were up 24-7 at one point in that game in the first half.
I thought the offense was really good against FSU too. I know it's a bowl game, whatever, you know, want to throw that in there. It's interesting with Brent Venables coming in, because you and I talked about defense, and I don't particularly think Alex Grinch is a great defensive coach. He's gotten some good talent. This year's USC team is not very good. But talent-wise, like you mentioned, like that Oklahoma defense 2021 was not spectacular. Mm-mm. But they had a lot of guys that went to the NFL, right? A lot of guys went to the NFL. And we think Brent Venables comes in, and I think it's interesting because it is a question of personnel. It's a question of coaching. It's a question of like, and not just coaching this group of guys. It's learning to be the head coach. Ted Roof running the defense. I don't know. You can tell me how much involvement there was with Venables and Roof together. Was there confusion on terminology? It just seemed like guys were really confused this year and they were not picking up what Venables and Roof were putting down for a much simpler version, I guess, of what happened. Is that fair to say?
There's definitely some discussion of that. And there's some thought that because of the complexity, the idea that they want to play multiple defensive fronts, multiple defensive looks, they want to run a lot of zone coverage at times and do a lot of, you know, exotic blitzing with zone blitzes, that it could have created some confusion for this team. You had three first-time starters on your defense that played significant roles for you, and Ethan Downs at defensive end, Danny Stutzman at linebacker, who led the Big 12 in tackles, and then Billy Bowman at safety. These three guys played some as true freshmen in 2021, but really started to get a significant role in 2022 and were, you know, day one starters, you know, when the season opened. That matters a little bit. And I've talked about this a lot on our show, and that, okay, first year starters, they're kind of really getting put into the deep end here against some really good Big 12 offenses. Yeah, there's going to be some ups and downs. There was some really good play from these guys at times, and there was some really, poor play where you're like, okay, these guys are first year starters at the Big 12 level. And I think a little bit of context provides, you know, a little bit of grace for these guys, in that you hope that they're going to improve upon that, where you did see a lot of really nice flashes from these guys. Like Ethan Downs finished the season really, really strong with a couple of sacks, 4.5 tackles for loss in the final three games. I mentioned Danny Stutzman, who led the team in tackles. He was playing some really, really good football. As I mentioned before, just very little linebacker depth, I think, led to him kind of fading late in games. He wouldn't admit that. Brent Venables wouldn't admit that. But I think just as you see this team not be able to get stops in the fourth quarter of games, that was a factor, not having any linebacker depth. And so they were young at some really key spots on defense, and also just didn't have the talent to work with on defense. They, because of all the losses to the NFL, because, you know, the Alex Grinch evaluating and the evaluation and the inability to recruit defensively to Oklahoma during Lincoln Riley's tenure, it kind of left them a little bit devoid of of defensive talent and defensive depth that had an impact. You know, they had seven games where they allowed 35 points or more, and they were 1-6 in those games, obviously. And then they had, six games where the defense allowed 30 or less or 25 or less, and they were 5-1 in those games. So you get a little bit better defensive help, and I think you're a much better team. You're probably looking more like an 8 or 9 win team if the defense is just a little bit better than what it was, or if it gets one or two key stops late in games. It's a different season, and we're feeling a little bit differently about it. We're not talking about how close this team was at different times in the regular season. So there's a lot of things you can pinpoint. A lot of it's on the defensive side of the ball. A lot of it's a new scheme that they're trying to bring into play. A lot of it is some younger guys playing key positions in that new scheme that is complex and is versatile and requires a lot of these guys.
Today's Locked On Big 12 podcast is brought to you all by BetOnline and BetOnline.net. It's your number one source for sports betting info, stats, news, and analysis. Get the latest odds and trends for every pro and amateur league out there, from pro football to college basketball to the NBA to Premier League soccer, all of that stuff, MMA, boxing, golf, the whole nine yards. Also, they've got podcasts over there as well. They're always the fastest and easiest way to get your betting info. Head to the website today or use your mobile device to learn more. Bet online, it's where the game starts. Yeah, and look, the reason why, you know, we're spending so much time on defense is like this, I feel like eventually offense will come at Oklahoma. It's just a place where you can get skill position players, you can get transfers, you can get quarterbacks. We've seen, I mean, you know, Lincoln, I'm not saying that, you know, Jeff Lebby's Lincoln Riley, but we know that he's a great coordinator. Brent Venables got him there. I'm not sure how much longer he'll be there, but when he's gone, somebody else will want to be a coordinator there. And some other good quarterbacks will come in and good skill position players will come in, all that stuff. What concerns me, John, and I'm sure it concerns you too, is Baylor. Let's just go with Baylor, for example, last 2 years. They got pushed around at Baylor and Waco, and their defense played a lot better actually in that game in 2021. They got flattened. They got flattened this year. And that was the Baylor stretch where they were playing good ball, but really, Jeff Grimes was taking the ball out of Blake Shapen's hand. It was all wide zone. It was all going to be, we're coming at you with this running scheme. You know what's going to happen. Look, they do some different stuff at Baylor, but you generally know what's coming, and they railroaded Oklahoma again. And, you know, you've seen some more high-flying offenses recently in the SEC and whatnot, but I'll tell you what, like the Big 12, you know, as much as everybody calls it a, you know, a 7-on-7 league, whatever, like, there are some teams that just want to run the football at you. Baylor just wants to run the ball at you. Oklahoma State in 2021 wanted to run the ball at you. Baylor in 2021 as well wanted to run the ball at you. Kansas State wants to run the ball at you at times. TCU, obviously, this year wants to run the ball at you, and they did run the ball effectively on OU. And what is Oklahoma doing now to stop that? Like, are they starting to get the type of athlete in the portal and recruiting? Because I'll tell you what, I think the one thing that's pretty obvious is while some guys – get better last year, there's going to be a lot of open competition on that defense this year. Is that safe to say coming into the spring practice?
I think so. I think what they've done in the transfer portal indicates that nobody's safe. You might have a few guys. I think Danny Stutzman will be one of your interior linebackers or inside linebackers that starts. Ethan Downs, I think, will probably still start at one of your defensive end spots. And then Billy Bowman, I think he's still going to be one of your starting safeties, but and then, you know, Woody Washington will probably start as well, but there's going to be a lot of, you know, turnover. There's going to be a lot of guys that are going to be competing for spots. And you get a good return in Isaiah Coe, a defensive tackle that's coming back. We believe Jordan Kelly is going to be coming back as well. So that's really good because it helps solidify your interior defensive line. You add Jacob Lacey from Notre Dame, who was a four-star prospect going to the Irish. He comes out of the transfer portal. Didn't play much in 2022, but he had a couple of sacks, 4.5 tackles for loss, I believe. In just a few games that he played. So that's a really good addition. Him, Davin Sears, that came from Texas State. I know you look at Texas State and you kind of scoff at it and you're like, oh, it's just Texas State. But this guy was getting offers from Tennessee, Penn State. Both of those schools wanted him out of the transfer portal.
Hey, Jared Verse came from Albany, right? And he is a first-team All-American. So if a guy can play, a guy can play.
Exactly. And Texas State is making significant investment into their football program right now. So that's a program that's on the rise. So don't sleep on Davin Sears. So they're really working. And then they added Rondell Bothroyd as well, a guy that had 14.5 sacks over the last two seasons at Wake Forest. He could either play some, you know, three-man alignment, defensive end, some three technique and four-man fronts for you because he's got that size and versatility. So that adds a lot of juice to Oklahoma's pass rush. He had, you know, 20 something plus tackles for loss over the last 2 years as well for the Demon Deacons. So another really, really strong addition to get a versatile defender up front. And that's really where it's going to start for Oklahoma because that is key. They've got to get better up front. In Brent Venables' great defenses, whether it was Oklahoma or at Clemson, they were dominant up front, whether it was Christian Wilkins, Dexter Lawrence, Tommy Harris, Gerald McCoy. They had elite interior defensive line players at the point of attack for the Sooners. And that's what's kind of been lacking for them. I mean, they've had good players and they had good solid play from, you know, guys like Jalen Redmond this year, Isaiah Coe, Jordan Kelly, Jeffrey Johnson was a really good pickup from Tulane last year, but nobody that was absolutely dominant. They didn't have like a Brian Breesy that they can roll out there and just say, go get the ball and force them to, you know, contribute three guys to try to block you. Missing out on a guy like David Hicks, who ended up going to Texas A&M in the 2023 cycle, was a huge miss for them because they need that type of player to come in and really transform the defensive front before they head into the SEC. The big guy that they're really on the big recruitment watch now is for David Stone, another elite defensive tackle prospect. This guy is out of Del City, Oklahoma, went and played at IMG Academy this past year, coming back to Oklahoma for a senior season. So that's really what it's going to take for Oklahoma. They've done some really good things in the transfer portal. We're really positive about the additions that they've made in the portal. It's just going to see how does it all come together and what's it going to look like when they do line up against a Big 12 offense this next year, because that's really going to be the key. Because like you mentioned, they, you know, in games, in certain games, they were really, really good against the run. Baylor just absolutely flattened them. Against traditional running games, aside from Baylor, they were pretty good. It was the quarterback run game a lot of times that gave them fits, whether it was Kansas State or TCU, in a way, Spencer Sanders and Oklahoma State. But against traditional run games, they did pretty good. But I think another aspect of that is they just need to improve their team speed. Right. At the linebacker level, Danny Stutzman, he's a good player, but he's not a super fast player, right?
Yeah, I was going to say, because a lot of the quarterback stuff, that's going to fall on your linebackers to stop that part of the running game. Yeah.
Right. David Agwebu, an experienced guy, has a lot of snaps under his belt, an athletic player, not a lot of speed there. I mean, he's fast for his size, but again, he's not like going to run people down in the backfield. You're hoping that your 2022 linebacker class in Jaron Kanick, Kip Lewis, and Kobe McKenzie take a step and are going to be integral parts of your linebacker core next year and add to that team speed, because you need it. You got to find some fast, aggressive players. Adding DeSean McCullough from Indiana, an athletic, he played edge for the Hoosiers. They're looking at him as possibly a cheetah because of his safety experience in high school. But that's a key signing that they got in the transfer portal for them. If he can be the player that everybody expects him to be, that'll be a huge help for Oklahoma's defense this year.
So on offense, I think this team, they were hurt by a couple things this year. Dylan Gabriel still looked like at times he was acclimating. At the Nebraska game, he was fantastic for most of it. But like just the week-to-week acclimating to being back, then obviously has the injury, right? I guess it was a concussion, the Jamoy Hodge hit. We all know, very dirty hit. That's one of those where it's like, that's an ejection. That should have been more than one game, in my opinion. It did reveal one thing, though. And look, this was a big storyline throughout our league this year. Depth at quarterback does matter, right? KU didn't win many games with Jason Bean, but by God, they were competitive in a lot of games because they had, right? The Baylor game was close. Obviously, he makes a run of the Oklahoma game. They win the Oklahoma State game with him in there. And so it's important to have that depth. Max Duggan, backup. Will Howard, backup. Oklahoma State cratered, no good backup, right? Texas Tech finished top half of the league. Three guys got some reps. It's pretty simple, right? It's very, very simple. You need depth at that position. The cavalry is coming, it sounds like, and that's a big question. I think Dylan Gabriel should be the starter this year. I think there's like pretty good, like no doubt about it. He probably will be, but it's like we're in one bad game away territory from clamoring for Arnold with the way last season went, aren't we? Because like that's just how this thing is going to be, and I think folks need to maybe pump the brakes on that because they're really going to want to see this kid. But I'll tell you what, the one thing we've learned in this league, Will Howard and Max Duggan, experience, you can't beat it, because those guys had their struggles and just got good because guess what? They were old. They've played. They just started getting good, and I think there's no experience, there's no substitute for experience. And so the Sooners should feel okay with Gabriel at the helm in 2023. Do you agree?
100% agree. Did he have some games where you're like, man, he needed to be better in this game? Absolutely. Were there some misses on throws? Absolutely. But every quarterback misses throws. And we've talked about this on our show, where the social media era of football watching and analysis has over-amplified all the misses, right? Like anytime that there's an overthrow on what would have been a touchdown, you're like, oh my gosh, this guy's the worst quarterback in the world. But I mean, he was a really good player. The Oklahoma Sooners, they scored a lot of points. They scored 32 points per game this season. They ran the ball really well. When he was asked to throw, for the most part, he was really good. Was he great? No. Was he Heisman contender level? No. Was he, you know, but I would say he was at least as good as Caleb Williams was in 2022. Caleb Williams was phenomenal in 2022. As good as Caleb Williams was in 2021 when he took over for Spencer Rattler, and as good as Spencer Rattler was in 2020. So he's good enough. Oklahoma's offense was good enough to win several more games than they did this year. They weren't going to win the TCU game with Dillon Gabriel, in my opinion. I don't know if they would have won the Texas game, but that game would have had a much different complexity or complexion if Dillon Gabriel was available. A lot of it, again, we point back to the defense. I think Dillon Gabriel, I mean, there's no question he's the starter. I think Jeff Lebby and Brent Venables will be aware of kind of the Jackson Arnold fervor, and they'll nip that in the butt as quickly and as often as they possibly can. Anytime that there's a question about it, it'll be Dillon Gabriel's our guy. They were reluctant to play true freshmen this year when especially they needed the depth at linebacker. They needed help at linebacker. They didn't want to get guys on the field very much. They got Jaron Kanick some opportunities early, but generally it was because of out of injury. They didn't want to put him on the field if they didn't have to. Another guy that showed some juice, R. Mason Thomas, it was kind of hit and miss when he got snaps. So I don't think that they're going to be in any hurry to rush Jackson Arnold out onto the field unless there's some kind of injury to Dillon Gabriel. I do think that they're in a much better situation at quarterback than they were a year ago, which is one of my biggest complaints about this coaching staff from 2022 is, okay, Davis Bevel is your backup. Well, you had him very ill prepared to be the starter against Texas. He didn't look like he belonged on a college football field, and that comes back to the coaching staff not preparing him well enough to go into that game to throw the football. And so you're in a much better situation at quarterback with Dillon Gabriel as your starter, Jackson Arnold as the presumed kind of QB2 on this team. They won't probably assign him the backup quarterback role, but if Dillon Gabriel goes down and he goes down for a significant stretch of time, I'd imagine it's the Jackson Arnold show and the Jackson Arnold era begins. But yeah, it's Dillon Gabriel, and he's going to be good enough. The biggest question on offense now is, how do you replace Marvin Mims, and will the offensive line coalesce with the transfer portal additions that they've made as well?
I think the offensive line's fine. And like the Marvin Mims thing, we'll see what happens. I actually think one of the biggest surprise maybe this entire Big 12 season was the fact that Xavier Worthy and Marvin Mims, you know, they were not as good. I mean, Marvin Mims had 1,000 yards. I get it. But like, oh my God, there were some really, really bad drops. And I think like they were magnified because a lot of it was timing, but oh my God, there's bad drops. But like, I think the skill position players will be fine and they'll find new running backs. The big question is offensive line, right? Because I believe they're going to lose both tackles. I think Harrison's gone and Wanya Morris is gone. Anybody else gone from the line? What's the situation the offensive line going to 2020?
Yeah, so Chris Murray, their starting right guard, is also gone. He's just out of eligibility, but off to the NFL. Played really well for them the last couple of years as a transfer coming over from UCLA. You know, they added Cal transfer McKay Mattire last year, and then this offseason they've added two transfer offensive linemen, Caleb Schaefer, and I'm blanking on Miami of Ohio, they added him from, and then Walter Rouse out of Stanford. Rouse is a big time addition. He had committed to Nebraska and then flipped kind of last second back to Oklahoma. He's got 39 starts, played 2,500 snaps at left tackle, 4-year starter for them. So that's a big time addition. So it looks like that he'll probably come in and be your left tackle. Tyler Guyton, who they got out of the transfer portal from TCU in the 2022 offseason, I think 2022 offseason, he's going to be your right tackle. He played in spurts for Harrison and Morris when they were out with injuries, you know, got some rotational snaps during games as well. So he's going to be your right tackle. So the big question is going to be right guard. It looks like Caleb Schaefer probably will be the guy, but they got some really interesting prospects in, you know, Savion Byrd, who's been with them for now a couple of years, but he played really well in the bowl game as a run blocker. Pass blocking for the whole line kind of struggled a little bit. And then left guard presumably will be Mattire. There's a chance that a guy like Caden Green, who's a 4-star offensive tackle signee for them, could come in and compete for some snaps early. You know, Bill Beanbo hasn't been afraid to put freshmen out there if they were ready to play. Anton Harrison played a lot as a true freshman. So it's not out of the question that a guy like Caden Green can come in and play. It looks like it's going to be Andrew Rame again at center after missing out on Matthew Lee from UCF. So they've got some questions, but it looks like they've got some really good answers to those questions through the transfer portal and then just the guys that they're developing along that offensive line.
Can I, a couple of things generally get you out of here? And this question is not to say I think OU's done competing for conference championships. Do you think they're done competing for Big 12 championships? Like, do you think this is a situation where it's obviously we have to mind them because the talent they have is always a step up from the rest of the league, the way they recruit and whatnot? But do you think with the way last season went and kind of the way Brent Venables needs to build this thing that we're not talking, and I know, like, once again, like, it's anybody's league, it feels like. But Do you think that, would you lean more towards, we're not going to see Oklahoma in a Big 12 championship game, especially if they only have one more year left in the league? This is more building towards the SEC that we're talking about, you know, or do you think it's a team that's going to contend for a Big 12 championship next year?
Before the transfer portal really started, that transfer portal class really started to take shape, I was kind of the mind that, okay, it might not be until 2024, 2025 that we really start to see this defense perform like we expected Brent Venables' defense to perform. However, you add DeSean McCullough, a guy who had 4.5 sacks as a true freshman, to come in and probably, you know, replace DeShaun White as your cheetah. You add Rondell Bothroyd, a guy with a ton of production at Wake Forest, Davin Sears. I mean, this Reggie Pearson out of Texas Tech, who may not be the greatest safety, but he brings something that Oklahoma doesn't have, which is kind of a nastiness and an edgy demeanor. And you need a little bit of that. This 2023 recruiting class, I don't know how much of these guys will play, but you get a guy like PJ Adebare, who is just now ranked the number 4 prospect in On 300's late their final rankings for the 2023 cycle. And you've got an infusion of talent that's coming that I think could improve the defense enough that allows your offense to win more games and puts you in a position to contend for the Big 12. Will they get there? That's anybody's guess. But I think that they're going to be one of the teams that gets talked about as, you know, kind of the offseason rolls through and as team, you know, we get to preseason, things like that. They'll be one of the teams that gets mentioned in the conversation because, as you mentioned, it's going to be as wide open as it was this year, if not even more so. I don't know if there's a team, as we look at it right now on paper, that's going to have a TCU type run where they go undefeated through conference play. There could be two teams in the Big 12 championship game that have multiple losses in conference play because of just the, what I would say, the overall depth, but all of the losses that everybody's suffering. Yeah, you get Will Howard back at Kansas State. Yeah, you get Tyler Shuck back at Texas Tech. You get Quinn Ewers back at Texas, but they're all suffering key losses at key positions as well. So it is going to be one of those leagues that does have a lot of question going into the regular season. And I think Oklahoma could be there. If they get, we talked about it on our show last night, actually, if they can get to from averaging allowing 30 points per game to like 25 points per game, that would get them to about 55th in the nation in scoring defense. That would be enough to get them to winning a few more games, especially in Big 12 play, and getting to the Big 12 title game. So I don't think it's completely out of the question. Right now, I would not pick them as my favorite to get to the Big 12 title game or to win the Big 12. But I think with what they've done in the transfer portal, the additions that they've made, the questions that they've answered that way, I think they're in a good spot to put themselves in the conversation if they can also figure out how to win close games late.
What and then final thing, what are the two places that OU fans want to go next year in their final year in the league? What are the two road games that you've heard Sooner fans say, that's where I want to go next year? Two places, obviously, with the new, you know, the new teams. It can be, hey, we want one last trip this place. It can be, hey, we want a new trip this place. So give me two.
That's a great question. I actually haven't heard from, I haven't asked that question, but I'm going to put that up on the YouTube side in our.
I've heard Provo. I know I've heard everybody wants them to go to Provo.
I want to go to Provo. Like, right. That'd be amazing. Like, right. September in Provo. That'd be a great way to kind of get rid of the Oklahoma summers and get up into the mountains a little bit and go chill. That'd be kind of fun. That's one place I think would be a lot of fun. Orlando is not a bad spot either. I don't think anybody's all like geeked up to go to Houston or Cincinnati. So those are kind of the places that I think probably a little bit lower on the list, not really destinations. Right.
Yeah.
So give me Provo. I think Orlando would be a lot of fun. If, especially you got kids, you want to, you know, make a week of it and take your kids, you know, to Disney World or Universal and then hit up the game on Saturday. I think that could be a lot of fun for Oklahoma Sooners fans.
John, where can people find you and your work and all of its variety?
Yeah, you can follow me on Twitter at John9Williams. You can follow the show at Locked On Sooners on Twitter as well. And wherever you get your podcasts and on YouTube, you can read my work covering the Oklahoma Sooners over at thesoonerswire.com. Doing a lot of recruiting stuff over there right now. Continue to talk about the transfer portal additions and just, you know, some final thoughts on the 2022 season, but really starting to look ahead also to softball. Oklahoma was just voted the number one team in the Big 12 in the preseason poll for the 11th straight season. So we're going to be in on softball as well. Basketball, you know, they had a big win over West Virginia. So a lot of interesting things happening with the Sooners right now. You can follow it all on Locked On Sooners.
I saw Oklahoma State stealing one first place vote somehow. I don't know how.
Hey, you know what?
I love Kenny Gajewski, but I mean, come on. It's the Sooners.
I'll give them this. They're the defending Big 12 tournament champion. So you got that going for you. And I don't hate it. You know what I mean? Like you're a rival coach trying to get your team geeked up to go contend with the two-time national champion with a team that looks reloaded to be possibly even better than it was a year ago, which is crazy to say. And you know what? Throw your team a bone of confidence. Give them the opportunity to go play and earn that as well. Like I don't mind it so much.
All right, John Williams, we appreciate your time as always, man. Thank you so much.
Hey, man, it's a blast as always.